Yeah, I'm going to talk about, you know, we're clearly slightly out the mainstream of scientific and technical publishing. But I think some of the lessons that we've learned in this area may be useful, may be relevant. I certainly hope so. A little bit about us. We're the newspaper-owned content licensing organization. We also run a database of newspaper content which services many applications, both in the press cuttings area, which is where we make most of our money, but also publisher services. So we ingest content in PDF form, break it down to XML, and distribute it to a number of media monitoring companies. New acronym, always good to learn a new acronym in a presentation. Maybe you knew that one already. We also provide feeds out to third-party aggregators like Factiva, LexisNexis. I think the key points I wanted to make in relation to text mining, and I was when we were first involved in this debate, we're very much we're not a technology-led organization. We make most of our money in licensing, but we deal with technology. And I think the key thing to get across, which is how a new word can sometimes mask a rather old world, and that is that text mining is very simply copying of content. It's about copying content into a database so that meaning can be extracted from it. And that is not new, but I think the fact the new words come up has created a great deal of sort of slightly hocus-pocus debate about copyright exceptions. Copyright exceptions aren't new either. It's a hoary old subject, and most of the answers that have been articulated to that still remain valid and highly relevant. Text mining can only happen if either someone copies all of your content into their database, and as a publisher, we would have concerns about that. Concerns perhaps accentuated in our case by the fact our publishers publish so much of this stuff on the web without a paywall. Or by someone coming into your database and operating their search terms on your database. Now, either of those contain significant publisher risks and are rightly things which should concern publishers, because allowing someone to copy what you produce, what you invest huge sums of money in, without adequate control over that is really, really dangerous. Another point I'd make, which is that I wouldn't like to think you wake up cynical, but the reality is, and we deal with a large number of media monitoring companies, is that third parties aren't as careful with your data as you would be. And the answer to the question possibly involving national libraries in this area may have something to do with that, in my experience. So how does text mining, how does mining and indexing work in the, or copying, those are three synonyms in my view, work in the press area? As I say, newspapers are produced on PDF. That's not a very convenient format, and to work with that, it needs to be broken down into XML, which increasingly we do through our database Eclipse, though to some extent media monitoring companies can do that through either scanning content or through crawling websites. The Eclipse technology which we've put in place is designed to ensure that the user doesn't receive a usable copy of content. Well, it's very usable in a commercial sense because they get a clipping of a news article. But the XML, which allows the media monitoring company to find that, is generated by us, shared with the MMO on a base which allows them to extract links to these PDFs, and the links come back to the NLA-hosted copy of the content. That gives us a control features, gives other certain user features to users as well, and represents a compromise that works. We have been in the press and been in the courts over the last few years as we've fought through a case with a company called Meltwater, a Norwegian, in fact, increasingly US company, who spotted the opportunity that publishing of news content on the web without paywalls created by scraping newspaper websites, not just in the UK, but across the world, about 120,000 or so, then delivering a service to users which are links back to those newspapers, allowing them to search. So if you like, and certainly from their perspective, they use this analogy a lot, it's a sort of Google News, but it's operated at a higher level of professional, and it's a charge for service. And we felt that was a licensable activity. and ended up failing to persuade them of that fact without going first to visit the men who wear wigs and robes, and spent an awful lot of time, effort and money fighting that case through the court. Some of the stuff that came out of it, you go back to my synonym point, one of the arguments they suddenly put up at the early stage of this was that they weren't copying this content, they were indexing it. And indexing isn't copying. But that fell apart fairly quickly, and it does when you think about it. An index is a copy, and it's not an index if it isn't capable of reproducing the original content because it's of no functional use unless it can. They claimed a number of other things, but I won't talk you through that. There has been a more recent development as we've fought this through, first of all, establishing that users need licenses, and secondly, that the charging scheme was reasonable, which involved a trip to the UK Copyright Tribunal in 2011, just around the corner, a slightly eerie feeling walking down here. An interesting experience, which I wouldn't recommend funding with your own money, if you could possibly avoid it. But I think there has been a recent sort of burst of activity on this. You may have noticed that the UK Supreme Court has ruled that the end user viewing an article, if they're only simply viewing an article in their browser, in their view, though they've asked the ECJ to confirm this, that that's not a copy, that's in fact allowed. So we're off to Strasbourg shortly to see where that one goes. But that's a side issue to what we're talking about today, and happily it's a side issue in relation to the fact that we are now charging Meltwater, who have a license with us, and we're charging their clients, and we're generating what we think is a reasonable return to UK publishers from the commercial use that's being made of their content. And I think the acid question on all of that rhubarb is, so what? Well, the reality is, to go back to Jonathan's initial presentation, you know, text mining can create value. And it was creating value. It was creating value for the intermediary. And we have asserted, and successfully asserted, that the content owner deserves an appropriate share of that value. And the idea that a legislative exemption should be made for this activity, which could potentially impact us in the news segment, which is why the Newspaper Society and the NPA are watching what's happening here quite closely, seems to be a nonsense. The market and the law has been a great experience for us, the law, but it's ultimately proven, you know, the simple facts about copyright, which is those who invest in making things have a right to decide how those things are used, and creating copyright exemptions does not seem to be a way forward in that one. So Meltwater have now, as I said, got a license, they're paying us fees, their users are paying us fees, and we're generating a reasonable sum of money from that. Proportion to 10 million or so they generate in the UK, or slightly less than 10 million, around 10%, something like that. And we think that's good, and that's the way it should work, and that creates a level playing field for them and their competitors, and it creates what's more important than anything else in this, I think. And the other big argument against exemptions is that there is a degree of economic alignment now with Meltwater. We want them to succeed because we succeed when they succeed, because the license agreement is in place. If you do this under an exemption to copyright, there is nothing but angst and trouble forever going forward, and license agreements work. We're also working with them to find better ways of delivering them content. As more content goes behind paywalls, an extension to Eclipse can probably help them generate more money. If they generate more money, we generate more money, and everybody should be happy with that. So I won't repeat the point about risks and costs, but I find it, I'm absolutely with the publishers who have spoken today, in that it seems to me to be a complete nonsense that we are spending so much time on this issue. If nothing else, this comes out of some, it feels to me like this comes out of some minor grumbles from some relatively insignificant use cases. The market works quite well. If there is a demand for something that can be expressed in pounds, shillings and pence, publishers will respond to that demand. And the idea that that demand can only be met by changing the law seems to be something of a complete nonsense. So I would hope that the government, as it finally works through this, will learn to trust the market and let us get on with delivering solutions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrew. That demonstrates it cannot work, actually. It's worth writing it out. You did cover, I think, there's something about Meltwater before the UK Supreme Court, but there's something that feels to the UK Supreme
Court. Yes, yeah, sorry. The Supreme Court, it's a relatively narrow part in relation to end-user license. We constructed our licenses so end-users as well as the intermediary pay, and whether the end-user should pay if it's purely delivered through a browser was a somewhat abstract and hypothetical question, which the Supreme Court took on and ruled against us on, subject to the ECJ confirming it. So that's why we're off to ECJ. I should mention that Meltwater recently lost a parallel case in the US courts, and so in the New York courts. So the idea that the intermediary who scrapes and takes someone else's content needs a license to do it was certainly supported there, and certainly was supported in Norway. It's grinding through the courts in Canada. So yeah, if you search Meltwater and legal action, you'll find a few.
Any questions for Andrew?
I found it quite interesting that you said copying is the same as mining, and I'm always a little bit confused because obviously search engines are somehow either implied or permitted to scrape content, or it's, I don't know, Tor rated. I don't know how this works legally, but you basically say that the scraping and crawling what search engines do, and so it's kind of a blurry line between a search engine and a text mining operation. Could you maybe elaborate on how this can be consistent, how a text mining requires a license and a search engine doesn't require a license?
I'd say, as politicians do, that's a very good question. And I think, judging by your accent, if you are from Germany, I'm assuming you might be, I know that you may be aware of the legislative developments over there, where certainly the government is looking at ensuring that search engines do pay license fees for indexing news content to try and level the playing field a little bit on access to, how advertising revenues have moved away from print media to newspapers. I mean, certainly an issue for us in the Copyright Tribunal was Meltwater's argument that they are a search engine. I mean, initially they weren't copying at all, and then when that was established, they decided that they were a search engine and we shouldn't be taxing search engine. There is an issue there, and there's some legitimacy in that issue. We drew a line in the market between free consumer services like Google and paid for services like Meltwater, and that's, we felt, paid for services where there was a subscription fee, there was an unambiguous case for a license. But I agree there is a dividing line, and whether you accept that dividing line, you might have good reasons for not accepting that dividing line.
Build a text mining index. There's no point in text mining unless you can search the entities. And to build a text mining index, you do indeed have to have the full text. I know this because it's actually acquiring the full text, which everybody wants to do, is actually quite a pain once you have all that text to deal with. And so I would say that maybe in search engines, it is a bit more of a gray area, but not
well, they're copying, that's for sure. Yeah, and you know, the NLA, amongst others, has invested heavily in protocols like what was ACAP, which is now RightsML, designed to allow search engines to operate and to steer them away from elements of content within people's sites that they don't want copied. And I think it's important that technology can be our friend here, and if that's handled in the right way, search engines can operate. The publishers can operate comfortably with them, At the moment, it's a little bit more binary, the way they're using robots.txt. But if someone wants a transcript of Meltwater's case falling apart on indexing, we're only making an index, it's not a copy. It was one of the more pleasurable elements of the court case, because and words are so important here. You know, if you said, you know, we want a copying exemption from the Copyright Act, people would kind of slightly change the way they feel about all this, because that's what is being asked for.